Our scripture for this morning comes from Luke chapter 17, verses 7 to 10. Suppose one of you has a servant who has been plowing the ground or caring for the sheep. When the servant comes in from working in the field, would you say, "Come in and sit down to eat"? No, you would say to him, "Prepare something for me to eat. Then get yourself ready and serve me. After I finish eating and drinking, you can eat." The servant does not get any special thanks for doing what his master commanded. It is the same with you. When you have done everything you are told to do, you should say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done the work we should do."
Kathy and Joe have a bet as to how long it's going to take me to knock one of these flowers off. I won't gesture as much this time. I won't be Italian. Cindy Piles, I'm going to tell this first story for you because you can identify. Where is she? Back there, back, way back in the back. The summers of my college years, so my freshman year and then sophomore up through my senior year in the summertime, I worked as a custodian's helper in the Waynesboro School District. I was not, certainly, the head custodian. I was not the second in command. In fact, I was way down on the totem pole of summer helpers. My job description was duties as assigned. I was a scrub. I had nothing of status. I remember my first day on the job, my freshman year of college, my very first day, was the last day of school for the students. And the school was just a whirlwind of commotion and noise as middle schoolers were waiting for the buses to come and pick them up, take them home for summer vacation. And about 9 o'clock in the morning, the principal got on the intercom and notified the head custodian that one of the classrooms had been egged. You know what I mean by egged? Okay, you know what I mean. Clean up in aisle one. And guess who got the job? So I was asked to go down and clean it up. I was given a roll of paper towels, a bucket of sudsy water, and a mop. Down the hall I went into the place. I got to tell you, paper towels notwithstanding, sticking my fingers in that goo was terrible. You know, I don't know if you've ever cleaned, you probably have cleaned up raw egg. You dropped one on the floor. It's terrible. All right. The teacher and the students watched. Evidently, I was the entertainment for that period, okay? They watched me clean it up. Nobody helped me. Nobody offered to help me. When I was done and I had everything cleaned up, nobody thanked me. Not even my boss thanked me. I didn't get any attaboys from the principal, and there was no bonus in my paycheck. And do you know why? Because I was only doing my job. Anybody could have done it. I signed up for it. Now, the reason I tell you that is because what Allie read, Luke 17, verses 5 to 10, is a story that Jesus told called the story of the dutiful servant. And really, it's about a person who is just doing his or her job. Now, to understand it, you have to understand the context of it. And to understand the context of it, you go back to the verses before it, verses 5 and 6. And in verse 5, the disciples are anxious. And they say to Jesus, "Lord, increase our faith." And if you read that in the Bible, it's got an exclamation mark. They are anxious. They are urgent to get more faith. Now, what's this urgency about? Two reasons. In chapter 8, Jesus tells them they don't have any faith, which had to hurt their feelings. But from chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, Jesus spells out, he starts mincing no words about the cost of discipleship and how being a disciple is absolutely going to demand something from us. Jesus says in order to be his disciple, you have to embrace difficulty. And he tells a little story about that. In order to be his disciple, you have to assume your unworthiness is a given. You know? Which does something for our ego. In order to be his disciple, you make no excuses for not doing the right thing. You make no excuses that you didn't do the right thing. You welcome suffering and you surrender your priorities. So with that in mind, is it any wonder why the disciples are struggling in the faith department? And I've got to tell you that everybody who was hearing Jesus' sermon on the cost of discipleship, most people that were hearing Jesus' sermon on the cost of discipleship, they heard the sermon and went home and they never came back to church again. Now, I'm going to make an assumption, and my assumption is that you come to church on Sunday mornings to get a shot of faith. Lord, increase my faith. And I'm also going to assume that being faithful to God is as daunting a task to you as it was to those early disciples who were asking for their faith to be increased. Now, I have good news. They left church before they heard this good news. Jesus says in verse 6 that you don't need a lot of faith to do a great thing. You don't need much faith to do a great thing. It only takes a little thing, and a great thing is as simple as doing your job willingly, consistently, and humbly. Let's look at chapter 17, verse 7 for a second here. Jesus says, now suppose one of you has a servant, doesn't say male or female, could be either one. Suppose one of you has a servant who is out in a field, I'm assuming plowing or taking care of the sheep. Now, let's just stop with that a minute. The Greek word for servant is doulos. Somebody asked me, and I know who it was, at the close of the service upstairs, how do you spell that? D-O-U-L-O-S, doulos. I want you to remember that word doulos. I'll preach it again sometime. A doulos is the lowest slave, the lowest servant in the household. A doulos has everybody above him or her. A doulos has no rights of his own. He relinquished those rights when he signed up for the job, or more accurately, she relinquished those rights when she was acquired for the job. But a doulos is there to do the service at the master's pleasure, all duties assigned. And Jesus says, now suppose you have a doulos, and that doulos is out in the field or tending the sheep. The Greek means all day. And they come in at night. What do you do? Do you give them supper as a reward? We are used to, we live in a culture where we get rewards for a job well done. Students get stickers on their papers, phone calls to their parents telling them an attaboy here and an attaboy there. We who are older get paychecks, perks, and our names on plaques for employee of the month, all right? Positive reinforcement and compensation make people feel valued and appreciated, and they do better. And that's one of the reasons why, as your pastor, I wanted to personally thank everybody who had something to do with the ministry of district conference that we hosted last week, whether you prayed or whether you brought food in for Margie and Mabel to use in the kitchen, or you sat on a chair out here at the elevator and helped people go up and down, or you were at the door or out in the parking lot. I wanted to thank anybody who had anything to do. In the day and a half that I was here, I tried to thank every volunteer that I could. And on Monday, I sat down at my desk and I wrote thank you cards to all of the team leaders. And there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is because I do appreciate you. I appreciate your faithfulness. I appreciate your willingness. I appreciate your humility. And I think you need to know that. I think sometimes in the church we don't say thank you enough. The servant in Jesus' story doesn't receive a special thanks. Allie read that. Because she is only doing what the master commanded of her. She doesn't get a special thanks. In fact, what she gets is, I want you to do your next job. Cook for me. Now that's thanks. When Jesus told the disciples this story, he was not advocating a lack of gratitude. And he was not advocating social graces, forget about doing proper protocol. Jesus was simply stating a fact. And the fact is, when you're a doulos, you do what has been assigned to you. or you do what you have signed up for. And after a hard day's work, your expectation is that you'll get another job, and that's all you'll get. And that's okay, because that's reward enough. I don't know. But Jesus said, when you have done everything that is expected of you, you should simply say, I was only doing my job. Now, most of us do a job here because we were brought up to do our job. My mom and dad instilled that in me, you know, to do your job and to do the best of your ability. Most of us do our job because we feel a moral obligation to do so. Not all of us, but most of us. I think most of us here in the church saying, I've got an obligation to do this, and I'm going to do it. Okay? But Jesus says in this parable that when we do the job that he has given us as a master, it's reward enough. And you accomplish great things. Let me go on a little bit. Kathy and I, many years ago, went to a seminar at Virginia Beach. We were at Regent University, and we stayed in the hotel that was adjacent to the conference center. I cannot tell you what our room looked like. I don't remember. I don't remember if it was big or if it was small, if it was orange, if it was purple. I have no idea. I don't remember the meals we had, whether they were good or bad. I hardly remember the grounds that we walked on, what Regent looked like. And I remember a little bit of the sermons and services that we had, only because I had tapes and I kind of learned them. But you know what I really came away with there? What I came away with was the attitude, the demeanor, the servant-heartedness of the staff, from the clerk, the front desk clerk, to the concierge who helped us with our directions, to the housekeepers who changed our linens and gave us new towels. Their greeting when they saw you was always the same. How may I serve you? Not how may I help you. Do I need help? And I hate, I'll be taking care of you today. I hate that. I always want to look at the waitress and say, why do I look sick? How may I serve you? I wish, and I didn't think about it until Friday of district conference. When we had our team meetings, I would have liked to have said, now look, when you get to people, ask them how you may serve them. That was impressive. It was as if they were expressly there to do whatever we needed doing at the pleasure of the master, which was Jesus Christ, and that was compensation enough. They weren't doing it for attaboys. They weren't doing it to impress me. They were doing their job that was signed for them to do. And Jesus says, you know what? That takes faith. It takes faith to sit and operate an elevator. Say, no, it doesn't. Yeah, it does, because how do you know the person's not going to get stuck in there? It takes faith to cook for 200 people, which turned out to be about 225 or 30 because people didn't sign up like they were supposed to. It takes faith and a little bit of Jesus and the loaves and fishes. It takes faith. It takes a great deal of faith not to make an excuse why you didn't do the right thing. It takes a great deal of faith to surrender the things that are the most important to you. It takes a great deal of faith to assume the lowest position, and it takes a great deal of faith to pick up a towel or lift high the cross. I have always wondered what a church, any church, Lutheran church, Baptist church, Catholic church, would look like if their mission was, how may I serve you? How may I serve you? What would that look like? Well, I think I have a biblical example. I'm going to do something. I'm sitting here beside Kathy, and I got a wild idea. This may not work, folks, and don't try it at home. Grayson, would you come up here a minute? So far, so good. What would it look like? Could I get you to sit in this chair? Would you do that? Do you trust me? Do you know I'm not going to hurt you? All right, that's good. That's helpful. He knows that. And I want you to do one more thing. I want you to take off that shoe and that sock. You're allowed. Mom won't yell at you. Okay. You know, the night, and just stay there a minute because I'm going to talk to the big people. On the night Jesus was betrayed, before he was arrested, before he was whipped, before he was spit at, the crown of thorns jug in his feet, in his head, and nails put in his feet, Jesus was sitting with his disciples at a meal. There was something that hadn't been done at that meal. Everybody had filthy feet. Do you have dirty feet? Did you get a bath this morning or a shower? I'm glad of that. See? But anyway, they all had filthy feet. And the job of washing a foot was for a doulos. What's a doulos? The person that's the lowest person in the household. And there wasn't any of those disciples who was going to say, I'm that. So Jesus, John says in John 13, having all power and all authority at his disposal, knowing that he was going to the Father and would be with the Father, he was about to show the full extent of his love. And he girded himself. That's that word in Luke 17 where it says, get dressed, gird yourself, be prepared. That's the word, be prepared to serve me dinner. He girded himself with a towel, took a basin. Allie, I'll get out of your way. Stick that foot in there. You trust me, don't you? Mm-mm. Don't you? Did you change your mind? I'm going to wash your feet and dry it. Can I do that? I can't? Would you like somebody else to do it while you watch? Somebody watch? You watch? You watch? Okay, Joe, come on up here. It's all right. He's all right. Then if you decide to do it, I'll do you too. I told you this might not work, and don't do it at home, kids. Grayson, you're a good sport. Thank you. Stick your foot in there. And he went around the table. Thank you, Grayson. You're good. I love you. He went around the table basically saying to his disciples, how may I serve you? And took their feet, which would have been filthy. You see, this is the reason why people do not come to the communion and love feast, because it's appalling. And yet, Joe's had a shower. It's not near dirty. I told the congregation upstairs, if you really want to know who the true foot washers are in this society, it's the people that change the bedpans and change the sheets in the hospital and a nursing home. Okay, that's a true foot washer. Okay, this is a piece of cake, what I'm doing here. But Jesus was not saying everybody's feet is dirty, you wash. He was saying we need to have a posture of how may I serve you. And so he went around the table, took that basin of water. He knew that he had not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so he washed their feet. And we don't know that he did this, but in the Church of the Brethren, he got them up, gave him a hug, kiss on the cheek, and that's that. And he basically said, stand up here with me a minute. He basically said, I have given you an example so that you may do as I do. If you know these things, blessed are you when you do your job. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Grayson. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Can I let you in on a secret? When I was your age, I don't know that I'd have done that either. Thank you. Okay, praise Ben. Dear Father, I appreciate the spirit that's here today. I appreciate the message, but I appreciate the spirit of the people. They were receptive. They were listening. They were resonating. And I know that you are the servant, the king who came to serve. Thank you so much for giving us the grace to bring a little child in our midst and be taught. Thank you so much for the grace to bring somebody in our midst who has a willingness to be a good sport. And thank you so much for your word, which is as relevant today as it was back then. You are a relevant king. You are a relevant doulos. You are the doulos of the world, and we are the beneficiaries. Thank you so much. Amen.
Please stand and join us.
Before the world was made, before you spoke it to be, you were the King of Kings. Yeah, you were, yeah, you were. And now you're reigning still, enthroned above all things. Angels and saints cry out, we join them as we sing. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Days, all my days, so let my whole life be amazing offering. A life that shouts and sings the greatness of our King. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Glory to God.
Take my life and let it be used for your glory, for whatever job you give me to do, and you as well. Go and serve. Amen.
Glory to God.